Matthew chapter number 1. I know we were here earlier on, but just go and look at it again. Matthew 1:1. So the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We wrote the write-up of the synoptic and the write-up of the New Testament book wrote in such a way that you don't get detached from where they were reading from, which we said is the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. So you have to get to see where they're writing from. So they're writing from the 39 books and it shouldn't be detached. So we found Mark 2. Mark will call it the beginning. Use the word Akeomai. Akeomai is used for beginning also. The Akeomai of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls him the Son of God. So we say when you use that word Son of God there, your mind goes again to the narrative of sonship within the Old Testament book and the narrative of seed first. He said seed will be the offspring of God that will be found in the lineage of man. That will be found through the lineage of man. And we'll find out that when he says that, when he said to Abraham, when God said to Abraham, thy seed in Genesis chapter 15, thy seed inherit the land. He says that also to David. We are saying is when he said the seed, was not referring to Isaac. When he said that to Isaac, wasn't referring to Jacob. When he said that to Jacob, wasn't referring to Jacob's self's children. But rather, when he used the word seed, he's used for the fact that God is saying, I'm going to walk through your offspring. Right? I'm going to walk through your lineage, rather, and it will be my seed, my offspring, that will come through the lineage of man. We said that. Right? So we'll find out that Jesus is called the son of David, the son of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Why? Because God chose them. So saying thy seed there, when God uses that word thy seed, he's using it in relation to the fact that he is choosing that breed or he's choosing that lineage to come true. Do we say that? When he said seed of Abraham, means God is saying, Abraham, I'm going to come through your lineage. I chose your lineage. And when God chooses the lineage of Abraham, he's not saying, listen to me, he is not saying that he's not going to interact with any other person. He's just saying, I'm going to come through this lineage. Amen. And when you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, you'll discover you find Abraham in that genealogy, you find David in that genealogy, you also find Noah and down to Adam. Why? Because God spoke about his seed through this lineage. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Find that out through scripture. So when he said that also to Noah, he's telling that he's going to come through the lineage of Noah. Hope you're following me. Through the lineage of Noah, and it will be God's offspring. Who said all that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, and then they're also writing for you to see that God is both man in the incarnation and God in the incarnation, though he functioned as man 100%. He functioned as man. Jesus functioned as man 100%. I know a lot of people have asked, are you saying that he didn't show himself as God, like he didn't function as God? He didn't function as God. He functioned as man. And then he's God. What are you following me? He's God. And then he functioned as a man. Never forget that. Glory to God. He was born like every man was born. He went through life, grow like every man will grow. He was not just born and became a man. He was a baby to a teenager and he grew. Hallelujah. Then John will now say that word is God. We saw all that earlier on in the first service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's get back to some of the things we said. We said, some things are very vital as to read is the fact that they employ shorthand to write. Is shorthand to write? Shorthand would mean they would use words, they would pick words, phrases or clauses or sentences that will carry with it a whole narrative within the Old Testament book. And they expect that when you read those shorthands, you will have to go back and reread those narratives within the Old Testament books. Right? And in usage, when you go back and reread those narratives, always understand that words would have their cultural connotations. We say that. Words will have the cultural connotation of their word. I need to say, those words are not English as you think today. Well, here the word seed is not referring to seed of beans or seed of or a seed of a grain as you have it today. Rather, seed was used to refer to offspring, right? Used for people, used for men. Amen. The same way to hear son. Son is not used for male child. No. Israel as a nation is called son. So son should deal with responsibility. We said that. Responsibility. When you hear the word to call, or to call, when you hear Adam called or name is a functionality, call, para, to call is to give a function to. In Genesis 1:4, the Bible says, and God called the light day. Sorry, Genesis 1:5. He called the light day. That means he gives function to the light. Hallelujah, it gives function. Abraham called animals, was not a biology class, was not a zoology class. What Abraham did was to give function to animals. So animals were now used to describe men, was to give function. And animals were now used to describe the kinds of men. Amen. Serpent was called subtlety. Subtle. You see that? Amen. Amen. When Jacob was to describe his children in Genesis 48, he described them with animals. Why? Because animals, the names of animals are given for functionality. What are following that? So names will tell a function. We said all that. So let's stay a bit with seed for a while, and then we'll get to name again. And then we'll begin to look at land for next week, on Thursday. So we need to round up this. Hallelujah. So let's see a bit. So we said, when you say seed of David, or son of David, you say, when you hear son of David, the first was David's seed in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7, quickly. Verses 12. It says, and Samuel took stone and set it upon Mizpeh and Shen. Oh, sorry, I said 2 Samuel, sorry. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. It says, and when the days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up. Watch that. The word set up there means to raise from the dead. It says, I will raise from the dead. I will set up a seed after thee, who shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. I will set up. When God says he's going to set up, is that word for the resurrection? So God is talking about he's going to raise David's seed from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are thinking, this is Solomon. No, it's not. You shall build a house for me. So that word house there is the word in the Hebrew where you have the word menu. Right? Where you have the word menu or menuka. To build a house, to build a family. So did Solomon build God a family? No. Remember I told you that even Moses didn't build God a house. And that is Solomon did God a house. I showed you that, right? He didn't build God a house. What they used those buildings for, which is the tabernacle and the temple, was to show God's what? Was to show what God is doing in the earth. So it was used as a figure to show this is what God is doing in the earth. He's building his family. So when he said, he shall build me a family, a house, he's not referring to the temple. He's referring to Jesus. Jesus will build God's family in the earth. And remember, that is what God said he was going to do. In Genesis 1:11, the seed, and we said God becomes what he said. Right? He becomes what he said. He said to Abraham, the land, and God said, I am your Shaddai. Isn't that in Genesis 17? He spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 about the land. By 17 he said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Meaning, I am the wild land. I am the land. So God becomes what he says to man, what he speaks to man concerning. So he speaks about the seed. He is that seed. Isn't that? He is that seed. For man. Hope you're following that. So God becomes that seed. So yeah, he said, you build me a family in my name. And I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. When you use the word forever there, you know it's not man. Forever is used for God. God's kingdom, God's reign. When you use the word kingdom, it's used for a reign. A reign. Hope you're following me. A reign. An authority. Watch that. And whose kingdom will be forever? God's kingdom. Not Solomon, because Solomon's kingdom even thought about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we said he was not referring to Solomon here, but to God himself. So, in Psalms 101, Psalm 101, Psalm 110, the Lord says to my Lord. Now David knows that this throne is talking about that God, thy seed will I give this kingdom, your throne. David knew by when God says he'll build a family, he will make his name, the kingdom will be forever. David knew he can't be Solomon, he can't be his own child. So by prophecy, he now sees that and says, the Lord said to my Lord. Watch it. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Did you that? Till I make thy enemies thy food. So you do what the Lord said to my Lord. Yahweh says to Yahweh. Did you see that? So who is David saying is going to sit on his throne? Is it Solomon or his Lord? His Lord. That means David is saying, God is going to be a man. And as a man, he's going to sit on my throne. Now on his throne, he's going to be a king in Israel? No. He's going to sit on his throne. He's going to come through his lineage. God is going to be a man. God is going to come through my lineage. Hallelujah. On his throne will also represent on his authority. Watch it. His authority. Come on, we're going to see that shortly. He's going to come in his authority. In his authority. Or he's going to have the authority of David also. Kingdom. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So you don't get detached for how words are used. You don't. So we began looking at another word in their world, which is name. Right? Because name is used for what? Name is used for function. Name is not used for title. That word name is from the Hebrew word, it's from the Greek word onomia, and from the Hebrew word shem. Shem. Hallelujah. So, we said name is used to depict what one is doing or one will do. What one is doing or one will do. So, God said to Eve, the seed of the woman, and he thought it was going to be his child, and he thought it was going to be his child, and he named his child Seth. Seth means God has given me another heir instead of Abel whom Cain slew. Did you see that? There's Genesis chapter 4 verses 25 to 27. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Instead of the, so did you see that? He thought the heir was going to be Seth. He thought it was going to be Abel. No, it's not Abel. It wasn't Cain. It wasn't even Seth. Hallelujah. So names were given to show functionality. What? In God's plan. You see that? In God's plan. Glory to God. We found Enoch. Enoch named his son Methuselah. Methuselah means when he died, it will happen. And when Methuselah died, the flood came. But before the flood came, Lamech, who is Methuselah's son, named his own child Noah, saying that God will comfort us. Did you see that? God, so Noah means God will comfort us. Hope you're following that. So name is not for title, name is for function. In their world, in their culture, not in your culture today. Amen. In our, that culture has long gone. Don't say, what is your name? My name is... My name is Ada Oganigun. Say, Oganigun, that is the first child of Oganigun, the god. Say, no, let's change your name. Your name will no longer be called Oganigun. Your name will now be Ada Chineke. What's the meaning of that? The name is just name. It doesn't have any connotation. Do you get me? When they are world, that is why if you are to read Bible, you don't read scriptures in your world. You have to sit. I told you that. Sit in the seat of the audience, the first century audience, when they heard the word. So when you hear that word, name, in their world, it means a function. Okay, you hearing me? I'm not saying to one guy, don't go and say, my name is... I told you guys of my friend who said he wanted to change his name because his name sounds like Amadoa. I was not trying to convince you to change my name for Muslim mother. Nonsense. No matter what, I bear the name. And I still bear the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it will be named according to God's plan in the earth. Right? God's plan in the earth. So, where functionality, I showed you in Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, when Moses was to go to Egypt, look at what God said to Moses. Moses asked him in verse 13, he said, when they ask me what is his name, what shall I say to them? When they say, what is his name, he don't say what is God's name. Because the name he gave to him is the word Yahweh, I am that I am. Right? I am that I am. He didn't give him a specific name. He said, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. So when he said, I am that I am, I will be what I will be. His mind is to go back again to chapter 3 from verses 4. When he said to him, I am the God of your fathers. You see that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, you're the God of your fathers. Your mind goes again. Fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of his covenant. So when he said, I am that I am, it means I'm the God of my covenant, and I will be what I will be. That is, I will keep my word. So that's what I am that I am speaks of God's faithfulness. It speaks of God's redemption. You see that? God in his faithfulness, God in his redemption. Did he give them a name? He gave them his function. You see that? So, the Hebrew or the Jews know God to be I am, the God that is faithful, the God that keeps to his words. You see that? So they now ascribe that name to God alone, I am. You see that? I am is his name, is his function, is his title. Is his function, is his work in all the earth. Not a title, but a function. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. I am is his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go further. One more. Glory to God. So his name is I am. His function, his title. So he goes into Egypt and he is the I am. Hallelujah. Is the I am. He goes back again. Look at what it now tells. Exodus chapter 3. Are you there? Okay, chapter 6 now. Not chapter 3 now. Chapter 6. Chapter 6. Look at what it says. It says, verses 3, it says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by my name, by my function. Did you see that? Shaddai, the land. Remember, what was prominent within that God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about is that he is the wife, what he spoke to them about was concerning the land. Did you see that? The land. And he said to them, he is their Shaddai. Did you see that? So he spoke to Abraham concerning the land in chapter 15 and verse 17, that's why I said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Did you see that? Walk before me. So he said, I am your Shaddai. I am that land. So that's how, so God reveals himself in his functionality to his people. Did you see that? Did you see that? So by my function, Shaddai, was I known to them? The land. Did you see that? Shaddai is used for the land. Shaddai, I am the land, Almighty, the land. Let's see something else. He then goes, now says, by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them? Now when you use that word Jehovah, that is the word function, by my function, Jehovah. Jehovah there is the word Yahweh. Today we'll call it Yahweh. But that pronunciation, God wasn't giving them a particular name to call him. His name is Yahweh. His name, that word Yahweh, where is the Yahweh? He's actually, we get to Jew, a real Jew, not the one in the East. Somebody actually accused Jesus of saying, he's not sure I'm an evil guy. That's why he's to tackle the evil. Glory to God.
Oh, dear.
No, I haven't got the evil. How did I get the evil? Okay, Yahweh. Now, if you read the real Jew, not the ones that are from, I didn't mention tribe again. Because the ones that say they are Jews. And I'm wearing the Turing. They are wearing the headphones. The Turing. If you read me to read Jews, I say Yahweh, they'll be laughing at you. They'll say, what is Yahweh? Say, no, his name is Yahweh. They will just sit on the floor and be laughing at you. Say, is that what you know from Bible? It is modern scholar that man put the vowel. There was no vowel. The name is pronounced YHWH. Meaning, God even gave them a function that they cannot pronounce. Because it's deliberate. God doesn't want them to be calling him by a title. Do you understand me? Amen. Because he will be to man what he has said he is in his word. Don't be following this. God is going to say, name is Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahusha, Eshalasha, and the like. No. His name is God. He's Yahweh. So Yahweh is permissive. It's not how we can pronounce it. Imagine I want to now talk to you and say his name is Yahweh. When I say Yahweh, you understand, right? It's Jehovah, right? Right? You understand, right? Okay, just for pronunciation. But God gave them a name or gave them a title. When you use the word Yahweh, Jehovah, is because he's going to Israel. So you will find him in his redemption, bearing that name. I am Yahweh. You see that? You see that? Yahweh. He bears that name to redeem them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So find him in that name, Yahweh. He calls it by the name Yahweh. Jehovah, Yahweh, to deliver the children of Israel. Let's go further. Hallelujah. So name becomes very vital. Okay, follow me. Name becomes very vital. And I said to Ross, now, let's get to Luke. This is to the Jew. Says to them, Yahweh. Let's follow me. Before you get to Luke, I showed you the man called Joshua. Why was Joshua named Joshua? Joshua was named Joshua at the time when the children of Israel needed redemption. Amen. They needed redemption. They needed deliverance. So the parents named him Joshua to show what God is going to do. Joshua means Yahweh Yasha. Yahweh will save. Amen. Yah Yasha. Yahweh will save. So they are expecting deliverance from the Lord, and his name is called Yahweh, Yasha, Joshua. Hope you are following me. Then Jesus, in the incarnation, bears that name, Yahweh, Yasha. Look at Matthew. When the angel appeared, he said his name shall be called. Matthew 1:20. His name, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now here's the function. He shall save his people from their sin. He shall save. Did you see the function of the name? It's called Jesus because Jesus is the same word Joshua. Now, take note. He was not the only one bearing Jesus in his time. Hope you're hearing me. Jesus, that name Jesus or Joshua was a known name. Amen. Amen. But now, God wants to save. Now, this is the incarnation, and God is going to save man from sin. Remember, even the Jews at that time of Jesus' birth were also looking for deliverance. Just like the way they were looking for deliverance when Joshua was born. They were looking for deliverance. How? They had a tyrant king called Herod. Herod wasn't actually from Judah. He's not a Jew. Come here, everybody. Herod is not a Jew. Herod is an Edomite, a tyrant king. And they needed deliverance. Not just that, they were paying their taxes to Caesar, who calls himself God. And they had Caesar having his Pontius Pilate to administer his tax in the whole of Israel. You see that? So they were looking for deliverance. And God said, his name shall be called Joshua. Just like Joshua. You see that? Just like Joshua, that led the children of Israel into Canaan. You see that? That delivered them and led, I mean that took them into Canaan. So shall he deliver his people from their sins. Will he be deliver them from sin? Okay, will he be deliver them into Canaan now? Will it be Canaan? Will it now? What is the land? The spirit, right? Now, so that we will deliver them. Now, remember, they were in the land. They are in the land. They are still in the land of Canaan, even though they were under this captivity. But yet, while they entered the land of Canaan in Joshua, there was still a land spoken of, showing you that the land is not a physical land, but the spirit. Hallelujah! So remember, I told you that right from Genesis 17. God has said to Abraham that the land is not actually Canaan. The land is himself. Did we see that? Did you see that? Genesis 17. Look at Genesis 17. So, I need you to follow me. Genesis 17, verses 2. Are you there? Okay, so it's verses 1. And Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. So he said, what Almighty God is El Shaddai. Shaddai, El Shaddai, it means I am the white land. That land you are looking for, I am the land. Isn't that? So that means, that was why when they got to Canaan, there was still that talk of a land. Because though they were in Canaan, yet they are still in bondage of sin. Isn't that? Isn't that? So that means the movement from Egypt that I showed you, I taught you that, when they moved from Egypt to Canaan, it was a symbol. Did I show you that? And the children of Israel in history will not be an Hebrew Degma. What happened for them from Egypt? Did you see that? Will be an Hebrew Degma of how God would deliver his own. And God said that to Abraham in Genesis 15. That he's going to use his seed, his descendant, which is Israel, to show this truth. We saw all that. Hallelujah. I guess it was in this teaching, right? Was it in this teaching? Are you sure? Or on Wavery Faith? Talk a whole lot though. By now I said it somehow in one of my teachings. Just get all the teachings together. Realize that you can't listen to one message and leave the other. Listen to everything together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just like that, to Jesus, he's going to save his people. So he will be that new Joshua that will lead them into the spirit. Believe that? That will save them from their sins into the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus bears that name Joshua. Therefore, take note, I said, he was not the only one bearing Joshua. Was not the only one bearing Jesus in his time. But he, when he says Jesus, it was because of his functionality. What are you hearing me? Functionality. So when he says you shall not call the name of your Lord your God in vain, is to call his name without a function, just like the sons of Sceva. Because name is for functionality, it's not mentioning, it's actually function. When the miracle happened at the gate called Beautiful, Peter said, he said the name of the Lord by faith in his name. Not in the mentioning of the name, but in the functionality of the name to deliver. And the sign of that deliverance will be, the sign of that deliverance will be what? The sign of that deliverance will be miracles, signs, and wonders. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's get to Luke 24. We'll not stop yet. So, the Jews are in need of a savior king. And they didn't know it was Jesus, many of them. Hallelujah. So in Luke 24:25, Jesus was on, two of his disciples were on their way to Emmaus. Remember, we can ask ourselves the question, was it on Thursday? What did Paul see on his way to Damascus? What happened to Paul? Paul is a Jew. Right? Now I said, what Paul saw will be similar to what those two guys on their way to Emmaus saw. And in Luke 24, when Jesus met them, verse 27, look at what he did to them. Look at what he said to them. Luke 24. Are you there? 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself, will it mean the things concerning his name? Will it be his name? We said the things concerning himself will also reflect the things concerning. So Jesus thought concerning his name, and their eyes were opened. In verse 32, he said, in our heart born within us. When he opened to us the scripture, he opened. You see that? So when Jesus opened the scripture to those guys on their way to Emmaus, they believed. Their heart born within them. Scripture was open to them. Watch it. What are you following me? Open to them. So what did Jesus say to them concerning his name? Then he meets the larger house, who are also Jews. That's how you know what happened to Paul. Jews. In verses 44. He said to them, let the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, where written in the law of Moses, the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, open again. He opened their understanding. How did he do it? In 27, in verse 45. By the teaching of the word. Did you see that? He opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scripture. Now he used the word comprehend there, synonymy. Synonymy means they cannot read it together. So, what Jesus taught them was that he opened, he taught them concerning his name, himself, his name, himself. Hallelujah. And that name, like I said, is not a title, but functionality. So that means they read through scripture and saw the function of Yahweh. They saw the function of Yahweh. The function of Yahweh. And we said, when the angel visited Mary, he called his name Jesus, which will be that function, God will save. Functionality. 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 Matthew 1. Just follow me now. Verse 22. Now this is done. Now this is Matthew, he said, they shall be called for it. I said, that this is done. And he might be fulfilled. That which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin. Now he goes to Isaiah 7 and reads, a virgin shall be with a child, and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. So, what did Matthew do? Matthew goes again to Isaiah and looks for another symbol. In Isaiah chapter 7, the time will not permit us also to read. But Isaiah chapter 7, there was also an issue. Amen. Amen. Just like they had in Israel, there was an issue that foreign nation was invading Israel, was to invade their nation. And then Isaiah goes to meet the king and explains God's word to the king. And the king said, what shall be the sign that this thing you have said will happen? Do you see that? And Isaiah said, a virgin. Isaiah was talking about what is happening in his world. He said, in our world, a virgin will give birth to a child. And his name will be called Emmanuel, to mean God will be with us. When you see this sign, take note of it, of the surety that God is with you. So therefore, Matthew goes there and said the same thing, it has happened again. In the face of tyranny, in the face of foreign nations in our land, God is with us. Did you see that? That was Jesus in the incarnation who be God with us, his function. Never was Jesus called Emmanuel, but him being in the earth is God with us. Did you see that? God with us. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. Don't miss it. God with us. Hallelujah. So that means, therefore, the five persons, therefore, we have to see. What does he say concerning his name to them? First thing you have to note is that he was reading from the 39 books. So that means the explanation concerning his name, you will find it within the 39 books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take note, when Jesus was done talking to the Jews, listen, look up there. The Jews were not serving idols. They were serving the living God. Watch it. But they were serving him without a right understanding of scripture. So therefore, if you don't, if your understanding and interpretation of scripture is wrong, what will happen to your worship of God? Wrong. That means they were worshipping God wrongly, though they were serving the living God. They were not serving idols. Amen. Don't think they were serving idols. They are serving the living God. But they were serving him, or they are serving him wrongly. So Jesus met these ones on their way. And Paul, being a Jew, and Jesus meeting Jews on their way, and the same thing that happened to the Jews happened to Paul. That means we have to investigate through Jesus Christ, and then look at Paul, through what happened to these guys on their way off their mouth, and look at Paul to see what Paul saw that changed the course of his life forever. Hallelujah. Changed the course of his life forever. You know, I said something to us. We had Pharisees who got saved in the book of Acts, but yet their understanding of scripture didn't change. So they brought in those their rituals, right? The Pharisees brought in their rituals. Pharisees, now one way you know a Pharisee is that a Pharisee is a keeper of the custodian of, or is a custodian, you are using custodian and keeper together, is a custodian of the law of Moses. Law of Moses is not Moses' word, but Moses' customary law. The do's and the don'ts, they are upholding the custom. So they still brought it into Christianity. They still brought it into their worship of Christ. Did you see that? That is wrong. They don't have a senior name, just like Paul. And that was like they could come against Paul, thinking they were doing God a service. Why? Because they didn't see what Paul saw. Hallelujah. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, Jesus, I mean, Luke will say, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend. There was a senior me. They now saw true scriptures and saw the name of Jesus. They saw Jesus in all scriptures. Not Jesus in all scriptures in any verse, but they saw him. Hallelujah. As the conclusion of what scripture spoke about, and their eyes were opened. Now, something you will see is that Paul, Luke used the word Dianoge. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. Dianoge. Dianoge is useful. Is useful to open that which was previously closed. Right? What of that one which was previously closed? Dianoge. It was used in Luke 24, verse 33 and verse 45. What was previously closed? And you found that too in Matthew also. There was something very for the blind eye that was opened. Now, something very interesting, right, it's the fact that the word diagnose is used again by Luke in Acts 16 for the rich woman who sold purple, Lydia by name. Acts 16, verse 14. Let's quickly watch there. Verse 14. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. Did you see that? He worshipped God. Did you see that? What did she do? She worshipped God, but she was not worshipping God rightly. Did you see that? Amen. Not to worship God in Christ, not to worship God rightly. Are you following me? So she worshipped God. Heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Did you see that? That she attended to the things which were spoken of before. So, when scripture was explained to her, her heart was opened. Did you see that? Hallelujah. By the teaching of scriptures, her heart was opened. So that means, there are no good apples when scriptures are properly interpreted. Look at chapter 17 from verse 1 to 3. So they are not going to happen by scriptures explained. Now verse 17, it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jew. What is synagogue of the Jew? And as the manner of Paul was, and Paul, as his manner was, went into unto them three Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the scripture. What was explaining the scriptures? Now, verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ indeed need to have suffered and risen from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? Is this similar to Luke 24, 27? Did you see that? He entered to Jews. The same Jews. So the same experience he has had. He now ministered it and their eyes were opened. Hope you're following me. Opening their eyes to see that Jesus is the Christos. We're going to deal with Christos during CRC. Amen. Amen. But we had to open their eyes to it. Glory to God. We had to open their eyes to it. So, by the scriptures, eyes were opened. Dianobio happened by the opening of scriptures. Now, that word, Dianobio, so the opening comes by the explanation of scriptures, right? Right? So, when their eyes were opened, what will now happen to them? They can now reason scriptures together. Siunyemi. Did you see that? They can now reason scriptures together. Now, the origin of that word, Dianobio, is from that Hebrew word, pakash, P-A-Q-A-C-H, pakash, from the Hebrew word pakash, P-A-Q-A-C-H. Now that word, when you hear that word, Danogu, your mind goes to 2 Kings quickly. 2 Kings. Hope you're following me here. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. Now, this is Elisha, was surrounded by armies, and then his servant was crying, there are many people, they have come to, so he was crying, and Elisha said, he that is with us is more than he that is with them, he that is with us, hallelujah, he's more, but he couldn't comprehend, so then he prayed for him in verse 17, 2 Kings 6, verse 17. Look at 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. That's the word pakash, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Did you see that? He saw. Hallelujah. His eyes was opened. Who opened his eyes? The Lord did. That means in the preaching of the gospel rightly, the Lord is opening the eyes, blind eyes. We're going to see that shortly. Lord opens blind eyes to see the scriptures rightly interpreted. Hope you're following me. So the Lord opened his eyes that he will now see. What was he seeing? Was it alien? No. What he was seeing was a present reality that his eyes were shut to. Did you see that? Was it when his eyes was opened and those angels appeared? No, those angels were there, but he couldn't see. Hallelujah. But when Elisha prayed, his eyes was open to see a present reality. Therefore, Dianogio would mean to open to see a present reality. A present reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Interestingly, that was Dianogio also is used in Genesis 3. For what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned? It happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. Just by the way. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to be fast. Let's press acceleration. Hallelujah. God, I still have a lot to look at here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's see references where you have the word pakash used. You discover that in Psalms 146 and verses 8, that word is used for the Lord. Psalms 146, verses 8. Verses 8, it says, and the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. So the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. So that word, that tax of pakash, is God's work. Is the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Take note of what was said concerning that word. He said it happens in the preaching of the gospel. It is God's work to see a present day reality. Hallelujah. To see the reality. The present reality. Very vital. So in Isaiah 35, from verse 4 to 5. Isaiah 35, 4 to 5. But then I'm going to read. It says, say to them that are fearful of a fearful heart. Now this is talking about the redemption. It says, say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with the recompense, he will come and save you. Did you see that? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's the work of the Lord. Isaiah 42 is the work of the Christ. Isaiah 42 verse 7. He said to open blind eyes. This is the ministry of Jesus. He said to open blind eyes. You find this also in Luke 4 verse 19. He said to open blind eyes. To bring the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison of out of the prison house. Hallelujah. To open blind eyes. Is the work of the Christus. The work of the Christ. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So. The invite at the work of the Messiah. Therefore, Elisha's servant's eyes was opened to see a present reality. And what did he see? He saw fire. Same with Paul. Paul saw light. In Acts of Apostles chapter 9, on his way to Damascus, he saw light. He saw light. Just like Elisha's servant. He also saw supernatural beings. Paul saw a supernatural being. You don't see that? We're explaining it. Hallelujah. Same thing. Now, when you see this, when he said open his eyes, watch it. When Elisha said so, you will also find the root of that word in Moses. In Exodus chapter 3. Look at Exodus 3. You find it also in Moses. Exodus 3, quickly. Let's see this. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Did you see that? He had an encounter too with a supernatural being. He saw fire. Did you see that? He saw fire. The same encounter with Moses. He saw fire. He saw the burning bush and what is burning. And he had an encounter with God. And what did God say to him? What God said to Moses, it will be the same with what you will find also with Paul. In verse 6, he said to Moses, he says, moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his feet. In explaining God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in verse 14, he says, I am that I am. Did you see that? So, he is the I am to Moses, the God of his fathers. Now, take note. Paul is a scholar. In Acts 22, Paul gave a disclaimer. He said he is a student of Gamaliel. Gamaliel is an astute teacher of the law. Gamaliel is a school of ministry. It's like going to the best university in Nigeria, UNM. No one will make bold and say, I went to UNM. You are saying, you went to the best. Not Abani. No. You are both in Enugu, but one is Abani. One is UNM. The University of Nigeria. You know when you say that, you say, he's a lion. That is it. So when you say Gamaliel is an astute leader in Act 5. That everybody respected his authority. So Paul learned from Gamaliel. Did you see that? So Paul's understanding, Paul was an astute student of the scripture. He was a Pharisee. a Pharisee knows the that knows Moses' Torah by heart. You know, he knows the scripture because he was intelligent. Did you see that? Intelligent. Not like the ones that went to some school. No alumni. No senator. Where school did you go to? And you are boasting. Say, I went to eternity. That sounds like kiri-kiri. Amen. You can make so good, but you can't make it. Amen. So yeah, I went to Muritala. That sounds like where they push straw. Amen. But yeah, I went to AFSS.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Okay, AFSS. School. School. Amen. Bro, I went to Bayelsa. Are you catching fish there? Amen. Glory to God. Let's get back. So Paul went to the best school. Amen. So he knows the Torah. That will come out shortly now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, quickly. Just like Moses. He was in the wilderness, turning to sheep, the Jew, right? Also, Cleopas, on his way to Emmaus, Paul was on his way to Damascus. And these three had similar encounters. And in those encounters, they saw supernatural, or their eyes were opened, the two of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul encountered God. The Jews, Cleopas, encountered God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Paul used to speak about his zeal, Paul never said he was serving idols. Was serving the living God. Amen. Something similar about Paul with Moses. Look at them, something similar between Paul and Moses. They both killed. And that killing, Paul didn't call Paul, it is the explanation of how he killed believers. He didn't say it in a bad light. But they are? Yes, wasn't said in a bad light. Look at it in Acts 22. Acts 22. In fact, quickly, I hope you read, you have more things to read, but I'll call it short. We'll look at some of those things that you won't get to see out, but this is sufficient for the now. I need to get past this today, because I couldn't do it last Sunday, I couldn't do it on Thursday. I must complete. I will move past. Amen. Amen. One. Because we have to move. Act 22 from verse 1. He said, men, now they caught him. Now men, men, brethren and fathers, hear me, my device, which I make now to you. He said, when they heard that he spoke in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silent. And he said, Paul is smart. He said, and I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicilia, yet brought up in the in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. So when you mention Gamaliel, like you mention you, and everybody goes quiet.
Yes.
And taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the Father. Look at what he said. He's defending this. He said, I taught of the perfect. He said, he was taught according to the perfect manner, the law of the Father, and was zealous towards God as ye are this day. He said he was zealous. So that act of killing believers was him being zealous towards God. He didn't say it in a bad light. And we're going to see, when he said he was zealous towards God, we're going to see where he's reading from. So when he said he was zealous towards God, all the Jews knew what he was saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So all the Jews knew what he was saying. Zealous.
Right, let's look at verse 4. It says, now watch this. It says, "Woe towards God, I see all this. And I persecuted this way unto death, bringing and delivering to prison both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness. And all the estate of elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them." To bring them which were dead born unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So he didn't say them a bad life. He didn't say that. It's a bad life. See, that was the towards God. Was zero. And when he said that, he was reading the account of Numbers 25:7. You know the guy? Phineas took a javelin and he struck people who committed fornication adultery in the temple. So that was blasphemy. And to kill in blasphemy is that in their culture to do something right. Listen, here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying what he did, he acted under the law. Because if you now read Psalms 106, when Phineas came up again, Psalm 106, verses 30. Look at Psalm 106, verse 30. That singular act of Phineas came up again. Verse 30. And he says here, "And stood Phineas and executed judgment, so the plague was taken, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Unto him for righteousness. Ah! That word, Tzedekah. The same righteousness, word for righteousness used for Abraham. But Abraham's son was Abraham believed. Hallelujah. But this act of, so they feel, they believe when it's blasphemy. That's why they can pick stone in blasphemy to kill. And it's called zealous for the Lord. So what Paul said is that he's going to kill believers was him being zealous. Why? He didn't have a perfect understanding of what they were saying. They felt the Christ they were talking about, the Jesus they were preaching, was blasphemy against the name of Jehovah. Did you see that? So he said, on that account, he killed. And he didn't say it in a bad light. In fact, when he was to say similar thing to Timothy, he said he was zealous according to the law. He said it to Timothy. That according to the law, zealous. In Philippi, he told him he was zealous according to the law. That was zeal. Amen. Hope you're following me. But that was because scripture was not rightly explained. So just like Paul, just like Moses too. Moses in Egypt picked up a stone. He saw an Egyptian fighting a Jew. He picked up a stone and killed. Watch it and killed. And based on that, he ran away. In his running, he had an encounter with God in the wilderness. Watch it. Paul too, on his way to kill believers and punish them, he had an encounter in Damascus. On his way to Damascus. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. And eyes were opened. Light. Fire. Hallelujah. So what did he see? Remember I said to you, Paul was astute in scriptures. But that encounter alone was all that Paul needed to see scriptures in the right way. Hallelujah. That encounter, just the same way Jesus will have to explain scriptures to them on their way to Emmaus. We close. In Acts 9, look at what happened in Acts 9. You read this. Paul said it in Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. Acts 9. Let's see. That encounter. Are you there? Acts 9. In verse 4, light from heaven, verse 5, fell to the earth, and heard the voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Stop. Who was Paul going to persecute? Christians, or put, believers, those who believe and teach Jesus from the same scriptures that Paul taught the law from. Right? Right? They taught Jesus from that same scripture Paul taught from. And Paul called it blasphemy. And yet, why persecutest thou me? What the word is, me. But Paul, he wasn't going to persecute, he was going to persecute people, right? Who were preaching about Jesus. Now, he asks, who art thou, Lord? Because he automatically, when he had that encounter, this was similar encounter to Moses. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Stop. I am. He found that name, Egwemai. Egwemai. Haya. Haya. Yahweh Yasha. Haya. Of Egwemai. Yahweh Yasha. Haya. Yahweh Yasha. That struck. Because he knows the I am is God within the 39 books. The same God that appeared to Moses in the wilderness, he has appeared to me. Did you see that? And said his name is Jesus. The same Jesus. Those who were whom he was going to persecute is preaching about in the scriptures. I remember the Jews were expecting a savior king, who they believe can never be Jesus, because they never believed he would come as a man. Did you see that? And they never believed, they wanted a king that would deliver them from tyranny. But here is Jesus saying, I am Yahushua, I am Yahweh Yasha, Egwemai. And Paul could read that from the Old Testament books to see he is not away, he is still with them. Did you see that? That changed a whole lot. Oh, what the prophet spoke about. That same name, that same Savior, he has happened. Hallelujah. It has happened. He is amongst men. And he has appeared to me. Hallelujah. So, on the way to Damascus, just like them on their way to Emmaus, and the larger crowd, in chapter 44, Paul now can now read through scriptures. He can now see from scriptures, can now comprehend from scriptures the things concerning him, Jesus. Did you see that? He can now see from scripture that Jesus is the Christos. He is the Messiah that was spoken about in the mouth of the prophets. Hallelujah. 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 So therefore, on this way, they found God in Jesus. They found Jehovah in Yahweh Yasha, in Yahushua. They found God in Jesus, the God of the Jews, the God of Genesis to Malachi, that he reads, is now found in the resurrection as a man. It's found as a man. Found it. Hallelujah. This is the CNN. I call it the icing on the cake. Paul, an astute student, now has found Jesus, whom scripture speaks about. Has found him and has found the God of Israel in him. Hallelujah. So, Paul now sees that functionality of God and Christ, who sees man, that changed our world. Hallelujah. That changed all for him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As we get to study them all, you'll see, hallelujah, that the name, from Thursday we'll begin to see it, that the name will carry with it authority. And now we begin to get into the teaching or understanding the gospel. These are just introduction to the teaching. We've not gotten there. Amen.
Just making you see.
Hallelujah. These are, we are, remember, we are still talking about language, I mean, cultural connotation of words in their world. We are still there.
Amen.
But it's very important you understand it.
Glory to God.
So when you hear Jesus, it's not a title. He was not the only one bearing Jesus. But when you say Jesus, you are speaking to the functionality.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Functionality. There's a Jesus that is injured in Aston. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
But he's not the Savior.
Hallelujah.
But when he's called Jesus, it's not, like I said to you, the power is not in the pronunciation, but the functionality to save.
Hallelujah.
To save, to deliver.
Hallelujah.
And miracles happen in that name, in that function.
Glory to God.
Light out of darkness is miracle. Light out of darkness is miracle. That is his name.
Glory to God.
Learn something this afternoon about the one hour. Am I? Are you doing signifying?
Eh?
Okay. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord.